Good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome into 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you. Till 1 o'clock today, Lucas Panzeca, he's back there making it happen. We got a lot of football to talk about. Conference championship weekend is officially upon us. It's going to be fun. I like these matchups a lot between the Bengals going to Kansas City and the Niners trying to take down the Rams for a third time this season. We'll obviously get into some Titans conversation with Coach Dave McGinnis later on in the show. And of course, we'd love your involvement. 615-737-1045. That's the number if you want to jump in. 615-737-1045. So, I was curious to see how people were going to react to this today, because Bengals, Chiefs, Niners, Rams, it's all over every sports medium that I turn on. And so I was thinking about this last night, getting ready for the primetime show. I was thinking, okay, we've had four straight days on both primetime and the radio show talking about Ryan Tannehill, talking about Todd Downing, on and on and on with all these Titans things that need to be corrected. And I'm not saying that we're not going to talk about some of that stuff today. But I thought to myself last night, I'm like, you know what? There's great football this weekend. Let's talk about the football games. And my primetime show last night fell flat on its face because people wanted to talk again about Ryan Tannehill. Now, there's relevant conversations to have around Tannehill, but I'm legitimately curious to know at this point, as Titans fans, because that's what the vast majority of the audience is. And by the way, if you're not a Titans fan, we'd love to hear from you on this too. Are people just done with football at this point for the season? Are people so focused on the offseason, so focused on coaching changes or lack thereof with Tennessee, so focused on what the quarterback situation is going to look like? You've got free agent rankings and lists, all kinds of great things for you to armchair GM already. Are you already on to that portion of this? Or are you still invested in what should be two fantastic football games? I think it's pretty interesting. 615-737-1045. Because I know that as soon as the Titans lost, you know, I'm thinking offseason. But at the same time, I'm looking forward to seeing if Joe Burrow can actually do some damage in Kansas City, in Arrowhead, after beating the Chiefs in Cincinnati earlier in the regular season. The idea that the 49ers could win three games against the Rams this season and route to the Super Bowl is fascinating for me. And we'll spend some time breaking down the X's and O's of this game, of these games, with Coach Mack. But Lucas, we were talking about this morning, and you said you feel like a lot of people are just like, to hell with the rest of the NFL season. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I have friends that just have a hard time bringing themselves to watch football that still aren't over the heartbreak.
All right, do we believe them, though?
I believe them more than the guy who says, I'm not watching, I'm boycotting the NFL, and then sits on his couch for 7 hours watching Red Zone.
So you're saying that you don't believe the people who said they were leaving football because knees were taken, as much as you believe the people who are just heartbroken from the Titans' loss and just can't go on watching Joe Burrow in Kansas City, because they know, and we all know, that the AFC Championship game should have absolutely been in Nashville this weekend. And they blew it. Like, they botched it. And so now maybe the hurt is too much to go on. I think it's pretty interesting, because I'm fascinated by these football games, but we don't got to spend a lot of time on them today if people aren't interested in that. I'm legitimately curious to know how people feel, how people are going to go through the rest of the NFL season, because I think there's a bunch of different storylines that come out of this. One, for the purposes to keep it local, for our conversation about the quarterback that we've talked about all week long. And I'm looking at Jimmy Garoppolo and I'm thinking, okay, Jimmy G in a big spot back in the NFC Championship game. He has not thrown a touchdown pass in two playoff games, and he has won both of them. Now, again, we understand that Jimmy Garoppolo is not the sole reason that the Niners win football games. But I'm looking at this through our local prism, and I'm saying, all right, if Shanahan can do X, Y, and Z with a quarterback who's got two interceptions and zero touchdowns, but has won both of his playoff games. How exactly are they managing to do this, and how much further away are the Titans? Then there's somebody like Matt Stafford, who has not been able to overcome the stench that is associated with the Detroit Lions in previous seasons, but now he's on a new team this year. They're absolutely killing people. Titans went to Los Angeles and beat them up. And since then, we as a show, I felt like we came to the consensus, Rams kind of soft. I'm kind of surprised to see them make it to this point, even though I know that they're chock full of talent, that they've just locked in on this arms race, especially given the fact that they play in the most competitive division in all of football, right? The NFC West, nobody's disputing this. Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals, and Niners. And now again, it's two NFC West teams squaring off in the championship game. Is Matt Stafford good enough to get them over the hump? Because that's a different caliber of quarterback, right? We're all looking at it through the prism of, do the Titans have the best possible quarterback option to get over this kind of plateau that they might be, it feels like they might be close to? And with Garoppolo, who's about the same kind of talent, in fact, I would argue that Tannehill has been a better talent than Jimmy Garoppolo as a starting quarterback. Their records are similar, even though Garoppolo has been to the NFC Championship game, will play in another one, and has played in a Super Bowl. And then Stafford, who I think a lot of people would consider a different level, a different tier at the position than, say, Ryan Tannehill. But Matt Stafford, we're asking the same amount of questions. I don't know if people are looking at this the same way that I am, or they're just saying, you know, to hell with the NFL. I don't care anymore. The Titans are out. This has all been spoiled for me. 615-737-1045. Clint is in Murfreesboro, and I think he feels that way. What's up, Clint?
Hey, what's up, Buck? Yeah, this is the first time I've even turned on 104.5 The Zone since the loss.
It's also been that bad for you?
Yeah, it's been that bad because I knew every, you know, morning I listened to Ramon and Jamar and Ramon and all that. And I don't even watch any, I haven't watched any of the games after that. Like, after the loss, like, I was driving home from the bar crying. Well, I wasn't crying. I was kind of tearing up a little bit, but.
No, I mean, listen, this is, you can be honest here, Clint. This is an open and honest platform.
And, you know, even betting. Like, I usually stay pretty solid. You know, I throw a few bets out there. I haven't bet anything. I haven't put any parlays in. I mean, nothing. Like, I put my Henry jersey up. I told my wife to after you wash it, just put it away. I don't even want to put it away. I didn't want to see it. So, but it's sad. It hurt because I thought this year, you know, with even – it was our year. I mean, 91 people or 91 players that we put through that played, we dressed. Like, I thought the NFL gods, the football gods were on our side. But obviously, you know, it just shows you how hard it is to win in the NFL. I don't think – you know, you just got to have all the cards. I mean, look at Buffalo. I mean, I feel bad. You think we feel bad. I mean, can you see like a Buffalo fan right now?
Oh, my God. I felt so bad for the Bills fans.
I had to call and check in on all my Buffalo buddies. I mean, and like only like two of them like sent me a thumbs up. The other ones, I still ain't hurt.
Just a wellness check.
Yeah, just a well. Hey, you good? You good? All right, just double check it because, like, I know how I felt after the game. Could you imagine? Oh, my God. So I put it in perspective like that. You know, I bleed two-tone blue for the I mean, that's it. My little girl, she does. Like, it's a thing that we just love. And I'm getting the music. Am I getting the music?
You're getting the music. Thanks for the call, Clint. I love that people get the music.
That's a good call.
It was a good call, and I felt bad because Lucas is back there fielding phone calls, and I had to whisper subtly after Clint may or may not have told us that he teared up. He got a little dusty.
And there's no shame in that, Clint.
Well, no. Listen, people are super passionate about their sports teams, and that's why, like, when Lucas told me, when we were talking on Sunday after that game, and you were like, yeah, man, I feel really bad about that. Whereas I'm just like, yeah, you know, I mean, what are we going to talk about on Monday? You know, how many different ways can I look at this quarterback and be like, does he suck? Does he not suck? Talk about it. 615-737-1045.
You just kind of feel like a shell, like just all energy and emotion leaves your body, at least for me. I've never understood people like teams losing and then fans getting angry and punching walls. For me, it's just every bit of energy is zapped out of my body, and I just sink into a pit of despair.
Hey, let's put it on the poll at Buck Rising. Which fan base leads the league in punched out television screens? Because I think Bills fans probably deserve to be in this conversation, given their affinity for breaking furniture with their own bodies.
Fair.
And probably Cowboys fans.
I was going to say Cowboys fans.
Because there's always viral videos of Cowboys fans punching out their televisions. All right, I think this is going to be a good conversation. We're also going to talk about the quarterback this weekend of the four remaining, Garoppolo, Stafford, Burrow, and Mahomes. Which quarterback has the most to prove? We'll take your phone calls as well. Stick around. It's going to be a fun Friday here on 104.5 The Zone. Were you trying to twist the knife a little deeper back there? Some blues music? There's football this weekend, man. What's wrong with you? Get your head out of the sand.
Never
stop
a bad
feeling
time for this.
Sorry for yourself. Well, the music's great. I'm just saying, you've been a mope all week long. I need better energy out of you.
I have not been a mope.
You have been a mope. It's true. Everybody has. It's five straight days of loaded phone lines. We didn't have a day like this during the Titans' regular season, except maybe after the Jets lost. Then people were pissed after the Jets lost. But I'm looking through, and we'll get back to the phones here in just a second. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. You know, I'm scrolling through my Twitter timeline this morning as I'm getting ready for work to see if there's anything new and interesting, any different kind of angles that we should be taking on stuff today. And there's a Pro Football Focus tweet. Now, listen, admittedly, I love Pro Football Focus for their premium stats package. Now, that's something, you know, that I pay for work and that I use when I write and stuff like that. Like, the information that they have is good. What I hate about Pro Football Focus is graphics that they use for social media clout like this. So, CJ Uzoma, the Bengals tight end, he's on Chris Collinsworth's podcast this week. And there's a quote that Pro Football Focus has aggregated from the Chris Collinsworth podcast. The Bengals tight end saying, quote, "We knew that the Titans were scared of us." And this is, you know, all big, bold, blown up. A picture of Mike Hilton celebrating after the second interception. And it just says on Pro Football Focus, "The Titans were scared of the Bengals? Eye emoji, blah, blah, blah." And I don't want to off-season anymore, man. We're 5 days into this, and I'm tired of it. I don't want to deal with this. So between you dragging yourself around back there since the Titans lost on Saturday, for all the people who are having therapy sessions on our phone lines, which, by the way, we love you. We're here for you. This is a great way to check in on your friends because a lot of you I was deeply concerned about. But, like, I don't want to deal with the whole, were the Titans scared of the Bengals? Like, that's the kind of off-season stuff that just makes me want to smash my head into my laptop.
Yeah, they were shaking in their locker rooms before kickoff.
Anyway. 615-737-1045, that's the number. But I'm curious to know how people are consuming this because, you know, is there a result necessarily this weekend that benefits the Titans, right? If the Bengals win and the Chiefs lose, does that do anything for Tennessee? Not really, right? I mean, other than it would be an insane upset, and I think Joe Burrow in a Super Bowl would be just mind-blowing right now because I don't think they're anywhere close to as good as they have been able to get to. Respectfully, I think the Bengals are a fun football team, and I think that they're going to end up being much, much better. But like they feel like they're just here a year too early, which, by the way, is how the Titans felt in 2019. It felt like they were just a little bit early. And they had gotten a few breaks, and they have some talented football players, so they made it to the conference championship game. Maybe the Bengals are something closer to that. But like the Niners and the Rams, that doesn't impact Titans fans at all. And I don't think people are going to enjoy, like I think most people are going to hate watch or gamble, which is probably the more appropriate way to look at things.
Hate gamble.
Hate gamble.
That sounds dangerous.
With the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789, all right? Be careful out there if you're hate gambling. I feel like people are going to watch the AFC Championship game. They're going to turn it on here in Nashville, Tennessee, and be like, you know what, that sucks. That should have been Lower Broadway. The Power and Lights District in Kansas City that now gets to host the AFC Championship game, they're going to be looking at that and just shaking a fist at their television and then maybe pull a Bills or a Cowboys fans and shove your fist through the television screen because of your blind sports rage. I don't know how people are consuming the football this weekend, but we can find out. Let's go to Jalen in Memphis, who's up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Jalen?
Hey, Buck. How you doing this morning?
I'm good, buddy.
Well, first off, I just want to say about the Bengals or the Titans being scared of the Bengals. Yeah, that's full malarkey.
Not Mike malarkey, but full malarkey.
Yes, full malarkey. I wanted to get into the who I wanted to win this weekend. And I was more so leaning towards the Bengals. It's a great underdog story. But after seeing that, I kind of don't care. So.
Oh, the graphic has turned you off. You were close. You were getting there, but the graphic has turned you off.
I was close, and then all of a sudden I saw that, and I was like, well, Patrick Mahomes can do it again. I don't care at this point.
Yeah.
I feel like able to watch football.
I feel like you speak for a lot of people, Jalen. Thanks for the call. I mean, yeah, we knew that the Titans were scared of us thing from CJ Uzoma. It's just, you know, for what? I mean, are you really trying to tell me that Jeffrey Simmons was scared of number 77, who he physically picked up? Is that the proper grammar? Picked up and threw like a child, a 300-pound, 6-foot-something offensive lineman picked up by another human being and just shaken like a rag doll and then thrown at Joe Burrow for one of 9 sacks, probably should have been 11. Like that guy was scared of you? Why do we do this? Other than it's great conversation. So shout out to CJ Uzoma, because athletes are never that honest about those kind of things. And the Bengals, you know, they just got here. So what do they know? Let's go to Darrington, who wants to yell at me this morning. What you got?
Hello, friends.
You can't have my thing. That's my thing.
Well, how about this? This is going to be brought to you today by Buddy Allen Capital One with the softest hoodies in the game. People, also make sure you check in the info. Well, the tape has no opinion.
There it is.
Okay. All right. Buck, when in doubt, we got to take you out. It's your fault. You have an ad going on right now that plays on, I know it came on 3AKL, where you say specifically after rewatching the game or any highlights, you should feel gut-wrenched, disappointed, upset, sick, just distraught. Like, who shot your puppy? That's what you say. So you wonder why they're calling in like that? Because you keep reminding them, just keep pouring alcohol in the open room. Why don't you? And then you're going to have people ready to jump off the building again. That's what keeps going. It's a never-ending circle.
Are you accusing me of pushing people towards self-harm, Darrington? Are you accusing us of doing that?
Yeah, no, I'm not accusing us. I'm accusing you. Oh, fucker. Only you. And then before I go get out of here, I have to say this because it means something, because she's a guest that comes on this show all the time. Jeff Garcia, turn your mouth again. You ever speak on me in a kind? I'll find you. Best believe I'll find you. Get these on my Seahawks. Don't you get you. I'll find you. And you ain't won nothing either, homie. You had Jerry Rice and T.O. What did you do? All right, people, if you ain't doing nothing, make sure you're on the airways tonight. Lucas Van Zico will be calling the basketball game tonight. Check in, tune in. It's Friday night. Titans ain't playing no time this weekend. Y'all ain't doing nothing else. Keep watching football and tighten up. Love you, Bucker.
Oh, my God. Why is he better at this than us?
That was an all-time call by Darrington.
Hey, you know what? He's right. Bleep Jeff Garcia. Maybe we'll talk about the Jeff Garcia, Mina Kimes thing coming up next. That pissed me off. That really pissed me off. But, okay, you sit here with me for 3 hours every day. It's unclear how much of me you actually listen to for 3 hours a day, but you're here with me. You're physically here with me. You think I've been too doom and gloom about this crap?
I mean, Darrington is fair in what he's saying. It was a great call. First, he goes at Jeff Garcia, and then he lauds me and Slay's high school basketball coverage. Always going to get credit for that. And then
Beach
he
High School
you accountable because they're at Beach High School tonight. There is a promo running where you are saying you should be absolutely gut-wrenched. You should be heartbroken. I mean, that
they should be.
Okay.
That then sucked.
Then you can't get upset at people for calling in like the world is
I'm
ending.
I'm not upset at
because
people.
Because gut-wrenched.
Buddy, this is how I pay my mortgage. I'm not upset at people. What are you talking about? Are you kidding me? Here's my thing. Like, after the fact, that was the way that I was processing it in real time. That was from Monday, right? And listen, I don't hear the promos before they go in rotation, but I absolutely stand by that because I was sitting in a stadium, in an empty Nissan stadium that had been prepared all week long with a week off of football for the number one team in the AFC to host playoff games, plural there. And what I saw was people in the stands awestruck by the fact that their football team fell that kind of short again. And it's not just that moment, although this feels like the moment that they had the best opportunity to win for the first time in a long time. Not just because it was the first time that they've had the first overall seed since 2008 and the last time before 2000. Like, not just because of that, because of the talent, because of the window, because of the roster construction, because of the messaging from the organization in the offseason, where they said, give me Julio Jones and $16.5 million Bud Dupree. I want to go win a Super Bowl. And then again, they went one and done in the playoffs at home. And people just looked disgusted by that. So yeah, I was just telling you what I saw while I was at the stadium. You should feel that way. That's the worst part of sports. It's what keeps us hooked. It's deeply addictive, this feeling that we as sports fans all have about our favorite teams when they rip our hearts out and then we just go right back to it because this is one of the most enjoyable things about sports, the constant pursuit of that championship, even as it kills you every time that they fall short of it. 615-737-1045. That's the number. We got Spencer in Nashville up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Spencer?
What's going on, Buck? Man, happy Friday, guys. I'm going to try to cover this down in under 60 seconds so I don't get the music.
Okay.
So here we go. Tannehill. It almost reminds me of a bunch of people that want to go get a divorce. Everybody's all excited whenever he's doing good. He's rocking out. And then as soon as he bombs, well, it's time to go find the grass on the other side. Well, here's the problem with that. When Titans as a whole throughout the season, which was one of the best Titans I have seen in a long time, if they were given a C-plus grade during that game, Tannehill was stepping up giving a B-plus, A-minus grade. And I was standing behind Tannehill all year long. And I'm going to have to say, during the playoff game, he bombed it. And he bombed it bad. But that's just a fact. People are going to have an off game. And he had one. He definitely had one. But he is a quality quarterback. He's a quality leader. And when throughout the season, when our Titans needed someone to step up, he stepped up. And just because your spouse might mess up one time or might not do something you don't like, you don't immediately jump into a divorce. And that's what they're doing right now with Tannehill. So many of our fans are trying to divorce Tannehill to move on. We got the team. We definitely got the coach. So we know he's got it. We know he can do it. You know, and that's really what I got, guys. You know, stand behind at what you got. Oh, and so music's on. I'm out.
There it is. Thank you, Spencer. Yeah, if you're new to the game, I feel like, do I need to remind people every day about the rules? I don't think I've done that today. We get new people all the time, though. If you hear the music, your call has exceeded 60 seconds. We swear we didn't steal that from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Lucas and I aren't far enough in the new season to know that Larry David did that bit and that we are accidentally ripping off Larry David. But still good nonetheless. His point is well taken, right? And I like the analogy of your partner, your significant other, your spouse. If something happens within the relationship, if they let you down in some kind of way that is consequential, now I know there's significant more importance to a relationship than there is to a football game. Let's not conflate those two things entirely, But the analogy of, hey, yeah, if somebody lets you down in a relationship, but it's not like the end of the world, right? You're probably not going to bring out the divorce papers right out the gate. Now, why this feels bigger than last time, right? Why this feels bigger than 2020 in the wild card round when the Ravens came in here and beat you. It feels different because Tannehill was not outright bad against the Ravens. He wasn't good enough, but he wasn't outright bad. Lamar Jackson just kind of broke you over his knee with, what was it, a 58-yard touchdown run? It's like a third down. They'd gotten the interceptions off Lamar Jackson. They were getting to the quarterback efficiently. They were playing well as a defense in a year where there just was precious little good defense played. And then the offense fell short. And so you look at that and you say, okay, there's some stuff there that you look at, and Ryan Tannehill wasn't outright bad, but he wasn't good enough to win you that game. But then you get to this year, and everything's going your way. Injuries lining up for you. Derrick Henry's back. Home playoffs. You get to host. Super Bowl runs through Nashville if you just do your job. And what do? They just bury you. Bury you with the turnovers. But when I was talking to Keith Bullock, what was that, Tuesday, Lucas, when Keith was in studio with us? And I wanted to talk to Keith about this because, you know, he's played with different kinds of quarterbacks throughout the course of his career. He's been a defender in those spots when you're able to completely change the momentum with the kind of plays that the Bengals made. And what Keith Bullock said to us and what the analysis has been from all the smart football people all week long is that you cannot put all of the blame at the feet of that quarterback.
The defense came out fierce, almost to the point, like, they're all right, happy that there was a pick and they got to go out there on the field and do their thing.
You were glad to see them.
Yeah, you know, and they answered the call, and that's what it's all about. But as the game went along, I really felt that, you know, with all the options the Titans had offensively, you got Hilliard, you got Derrick Henry back, you got Foreman who's been running like a madman, you got Julio, like you got a full stable. I was just anticipating more creativity from the offensive playbook. Now it's easy to go back and be like, you know, Ryan Tannehill.
So basically, what Keith is saying, I would have expected more creativity on offense. And not looking at Ryan Tannehill and being like, yeah, dude, you just outright lost that game. And Keith talked about a bunch of different stuff, right? The fact that you're not mother bleeping that guy in the locker room afterwards. You need him. You got to pick him up. You need that guy to get back to the level that he's capable of playing at. I think that's people's larger issue with the situation. We got Charlie in Franklin, who's up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, my friend, I appreciate you taking the call. So I'm a Titans fan as well, and it's starting to sound more like Dallas every year with, oh, it should have been our year, it could have been our year. And, I mean, you can't go into it realistic expectations, dropping games to the Jets, getting blown out by the Texans, and expect that it's your year. I mean, I feel like after listening to these calls, I want to drive to my job and quit and tell my boss that I want to become a bookie in Nashville because everyone's betting with their hearts instead of their heads. Yeah. So let me take a different angle on this, and I'm really going to ruffle some feathers, but that's okay. You're a GM with limited time with this talent that you have right now. Would you put on the trading block in one of the most amazing free agencies in the world right now that we've seen in recent years? Would you make a run and try to get an Aaron Rodgers and a Devontae Adams combination here, or possibly even trade a Tannehill, A.J. Brown for Russell Wilson and Metcalf? Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Man, Charlie's going all in with the trade machine, baby.
Full burn it down mode.
He wants it gone. He wants a whole new quarterback, a whole new wide receiver. Here's what I'd say. And we talked about this with Mike Sando yesterday, right? If there's a deal out there that makes sense for Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, all right, even as unrealistic as I believe that to be, of course you explore that. Nobody's telling you that you cannot try and explore all possibilities available to you. But the issue with those things, not to completely dismiss Charlie's proposition, but who's going to take Tannehill's contract? That's the thing that's holding all of this up. Seattle doesn't want Ryan Tannehill after they've had Russell Wilson. Green Bay doesn't want that. You've got to find some place to move him before you can talk about who you can acquire. And by the way, those two guys aren't free agents. They're not free agents. They're still under contract with their football teams, and both publicly, if maybe not privately, saying, yeah, we think about coming back. We'll continue this conversation. Lines are loaded. If you want to jump in, we'll get to you as soon as humanly possible. 615-737-1045. I'm also going to tell you who the quarterback playing this weekend is that's under the most pressure to perform. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back on this Friday. People been passionate about how they're consuming football this weekend. I am a little surprised that people are just, even with gambling, people are just this broken up about the way that the Titans season ended, that they cannot bring themselves to watch football this weekend. Or if you're hate watching or hate gambling, Tennessee Redline, as we mentioned, that's available to you. Be careful out there. But with these games in particular, you know, I personally am excited to see what the result is. I think it's very, very possible, if not likely, that we see a rematch of the 2019 Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs against Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. A game, by the way, that the Niners were, what, two Jimmy G throws away from winning? Completely changes the narrative around Patrick Mahomes if that takes place. They've got arguably a better defensive line now. And we saw last season how the Bucs just absolutely peppered the Chiefs back there, understanding that their offensive line was trash at the time. But people don't seem to care about that here in Nashville. And that's fine. I'm curious what else you got. I mean, I know what I'm going to do with my time because we have lots of sports to talk about. And so as long as there's live sports to talk about, I think we should talk about it. But Darrington brought up earlier that there's a promo going around on these airwaves of me being too doom and gloom. Lucas, did you find the promo? Because I never hear these things. I want to play this live, and then I want to react to it, and then we'll go back to the phones. Let's hear the promo.
The Buck Rising Show.
The result is even more improbable the more times you watch that back. You should be livid, absolutely sick to your stomach for what it is that happened in the divisional round against the Bengals.
The Buck Rising Show. Today.
Sick to your stomach.
Oh.
And fast forward a few days. Oh, I can't believe, why are Titans fans so mad?
My God, am I pretentious. I sound like a jerk. Why don't you tell me that more often? Like, I never listen to myself talk. I sound like a D-bag. You should be sick. And then doesn't understand why people are telling me that they're crying in their cars on the way home.
Well, he corrected himself. He's like, well, I didn't cry. I almost shed a tear.
You're correct.
It's okay to cry.
It's okay. We're here to audio. It's an audio hug. We're trying to give you an audio hug for 3 hours. Nobody wants it, though. 615-737-1045. We got Espy in Nashville up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up?
What's up, Buck? I was bumming after that Titans loss. I was crying in my car. I typically go to Ross Dress for Less parking lot and cry. So I was crying, not watching any more football last weekend, but coming this weekend, that gambling itch might get me.
Sure.
I might watch a few games. So now, besides that, I'm focused on college basketball, War Eagle, and cryptocurrency, Dogecoin to the moon.
Oh, be careful out there. That's been a tough week for crypto, bud.
I know. Time to buy it up. Buy the dip, baby.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, that's kind of what's going on with me. I'm kind of not too excited about football these days.
I get it. Just make sure you're not loitering too long in the, as he say, the Ross's pardon, Ross Dress for Less parking lot. It's not funny for me to laugh at something like that. If somebody is actually doing that, I assume SB is kidding with us a little bit. But now I have just a hilarious image of some dude in like the flame head gear. You know what I'm talking about? Like my guy that's dressed out like a physical human torch at the Titans game, just weeping with the two-tone blue makeup running down the face in the Ross Dress for Less parking lot. What am I supposed to do with that? 615-737-1045. I'm worried about you guys. Come on. Stay with me. But with all the conversation around this weekend, I think there's a ton of pressure on Matt Stafford. I really do. Talking about quarterbacks who need to live up to the expectation to perform up to expectation. And we can talk about this within the context of Ryan Tannehill coming up next. But Matt Stafford, as the quarterback of the Rams, now freed from the shackles of the Detroit Lions and all their postseason lack of success and even lack of postseason appearances. This man has a lot to prove to us, just as Ryan Tannehill had a lot to prove to us in the divisional round. Conference championship weekend is going to be big for Matt Stafford. This was him speaking with the media earlier this week about going up against a team that swept them in the regular season.
Hey, Matthew, just with this being your first ever championship week, can you guys kind of take us through what you're feeling mentally, if you kind of feel any extra amped up or whatnot, and how you look at this matchup with a third matchup with the 49ers?
Obviously excited about the opportunity, but going about it kind of as a normal week. It's first normal week we've had in a little bit. You know, obviously playing the first playoff game on a Monday and the second one on a short week. So this one just feels like a normal week during the season. Obviously a lot at stake. We know that. Playing a really good opponent that's playing, you know, as good a football as anybody in the NFL right now. So it'll be a big challenge for us, but we're excited about the opportunity.
That's a quarterback for a bunch of nothing. Just a bunch of nothing in 30 seconds. But he is under a tremendous amount of pressure. He is going to have a difficult matchup against the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. And does the conversation around Stafford change if they were to lose this game as the higher-seeded team hosting their divisional rival, who would then own 3 wins in a season over Matt Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams after they went all in? You want to talk about going all in. Odell Beckham Jr., Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Matt Stafford. There is so much that the Rams have tried to do, and people want the Titans to operate that way as well, where you just say, future be damned. We're pushing in the chips for this Super Bowl or as many different cracks at a Super Bowl as we can get with this team. And I want to get into that coming up next. Your phone calls as well. Stick with us if you've been hanging out. I know there's a lot of people that have been trying to get in. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the matchups and go through the X's and O's of that Titans-Bengals game from Coach Dave McGinnis's perspective. He'll join us at 11:20 as well. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.